Yes. I'd like to pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that you would fill me up with your Holy Spirit this morning. Pray that you would fill everyone up with your Holy Spirit this morning in this place, Father. Please protect what is spoken today by me, Father. And just have it be words that you've provided to me through your Holy Spirit. Lord, let us just take what this message that you have for us and act on it, hear it, and just believe it, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're going to be talking about anxiousness today. And the verses that we're going to be talking about are in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. I'm going to read them. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. I've got a little story. A woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office. After his checkup, the doctor called the wife into his office alone. He said, "Your husband is suffering from a very serious illness related to anxiety. If you don't do the following, your husband will surely die." The doctor continued, "Each morning, fix him a healthy breakfast. Be pleasant at all times. For lunch, make him a nutritious meal. For dinner, prepare an especially nice meal for him. Don't burden him with chores. Don't discuss your problems with him. It will only make his stress worse. No nagging, and most importantly, let him watch sports whenever he wants. If you can do this for the next 10 months to 1 year, I think your husband will regain his health completely." On the way home, the husband asked his wife, "What did the doctor say?" To which his loving wife responded, "He said you're going to die." So, I thought it might be good to start out by defining anxiousness. And so, I found two definitions of anxiousness. I found one that you could find in the dictionary. Then I found one biblical definition of anxiousness. So, anxiousness is being full of mental distress or uneasiness because of fear or danger or misfortune. It can be being greatly worried or very eager. The biblical definition, went back to the word anxious that's in our verse today and looked at the Greek behind it, which is merimneo. So merimneo basically means drawn in opposite directions. The force exerted by a sinful anxiety or worry, literally, what it means is to be divided or distracted. So, to be divided or distracted, to be worried, when we say anxiousness, anxiety, that's what we're talking about today. And I actually came up with a list. The Lord was gracious enough to provide me with almost a million opportunities over the past couple weeks that I was putting this verse together to have some stories around things that might cause us anxiousness. And so I think we all have these things. But number one on my list is public speaking. Very anxious when it comes to public speaking. I've gotten better because the Lord has put me in situations where I have to public speak all the time now. I still feel like my tongue is swelling up. I stood up here. I forgot my water on the floor already. I think I basically am okay. I put the same shoes on, put a jacket on, so I'm okay. Next, and so I know Keith knows this, and I know Andy knows it now, airplanes. Not a huge fan of airplanes. So airplanes are something that can cause me anxiety. We had a discussion the other day at our small group about the stewardess watch. Not in that way, but every time the air brakes go on, every time we hit a bump, every time whatever happens, I am checking out all of the stewardesses on the plane to see what level of panic they have in their eyes so that I can know how safe and secure I am on this metal box that's hurtling through the air. I was also blessed enough to have a number of interesting things happen that would normally cause me to be anxious, and I've basically been walking around for about 2 or 3 weeks liberally spreading the do not be anxious verse with everybody because of, thank you, thanks Pete, because of all the things that God's been putting in my path. Car problems. So I've shared this story with a bunch of you, but I'm going to share it with all of you. My car started acting up, and it's a 2007 Nissan Altima Hybrid. So I took it in to the dealership to have it get looked at. And they came back, and first off, they didn't tell me to sit down, but they said, okay, here's the issues with your car. One, you have a leaky transmission, and coolant is leaking out of it. And I said, okay. They said, our recommendation is that you replace the transmission. That will be between $4,000 and $5,000. So, in my mind, I'm saying, Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians 4:6-7. Then, they said, oh, and you have a malfunction in your hybrid battery, and a hybrid battery replacement is between $8,000 and $9,000. So, Mr. Kovacs, would you like us to begin work on your vehicle today? I said, thank you. I think I'll get a second opinion. Please take it down. I'll take it home and see. And so it's driving around fine now, although, funny story, wouldn't start this morning. Melissa said, just leave it at home, honey. I said, no, I've got to get it started so that I can, I don't know, talk about it in my message. It started. It's under the trees out there. It may be there for a while. So, public speaking, airplanes, car problems, house problems. Raise your hand in here if you have a house and have never had any problems with your house. Okay, good. Me either. First, let's talk about air conditioning. Find a good HVAC guy that you can trust. I didn't grow up with air conditioning, but I lived like 4 hours, 5 hours north. But when you get used to air conditioning, having air conditioning, especially here, especially based off the past 2 or 3 days, it's important to have, especially when you're used to it. Our air conditioning has been acting up. My parents come into town. Right before they come into town, our microwave stops working. And every time I plug it in, it pretty much trips the whole side of the house. So we now don't have a microwave. Let me tell you, you really become reliant on a microwave when you have a microwave. We have to reheat everything in pans on the oven. Some things do not lend themselves to reheat well in a pan. My parents come into town, and bad things, I'm not going to say this, they don't seem to follow them, but they know, God knows that my dad likes to fix things, and so everything breaks. He's in the shower, or just got done with the shower, comes and says, where's your main shutoff? And I said, uh-oh. And so, before we went and looked, I said, it's in the basement, go look for it. So I fixed it myself by unscrewing the faucet, basically, which then proceeded to blow all the way across the bathroom against the back wall and get everything wet. We actually did find the main shutoff finally and got that fixed. But house problems. House problems is one of the things that we all have to deal with that can cause us anxiety. Work is another one. I won't even go into work. Work is one of those things that can pull on you in so many different directions. Has anybody ever heard of an deep dive? An architectural deep dive? Yeah. Shaking your head, I see that. Those are fun, huh? 8 hours in a room talking tech. So work is one of those areas where we can be anxious. This one is near and dear to me, and it's really where I first understood the importance of memorizing Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I talked to Steve Gardner a little bit about it this morning. It's sports. And I'm better now, but a couple years ago, I could get pretty intense when I played sports. And so the guys, that was when AJ was still going here and we were all playing out at Vent Hill. So they would see me like maybe get ready to throw my bat into the fence or to go and kick something or just to generally be an idiot. And they would remind me, Eric, do not be anxious about anything. Remember, brother, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So sports. There's a couple others, kids, finances. I think finances in general, the car and the house, if the total bill on that wasn't over 30 grand, then it probably wouldn't be that big of a deal to me, but I think those all come back to finances. And so Melissa and I were talking last night because she took me out to a nice dinner for my birthday, a couple days later than my birthday, but she said, I've got a funny one, as she's going through and checking her purse while she's getting ready to pay. Oh, that's another thing, too, is in order to keep me from being anxious, I no longer pay for anything. Melissa pays for it. It's all the same bank account, but if I don't have to see the bill, then I'm fine with it. I'm like, you pay. So she's getting ready to pay, and she says, you know something that really makes me anxious? And I said, what, honey? She says, when all the dollar bills in my wallet aren't facing in the same direction. I think they have a word for that, which is OCD. But that did remind me of the other thing that makes Melissa anxious. And that is, if you ever come to our house and look in the pantry, you will be able to read every label on the cans, because all the cans have to be turned so that you can read the label. Who's been in the pantry? Must have been the kids, honey. And so that brings up a good point too, though, which is, and this holds true with Melissa and I, if one of us is anxious, the other one can be anxious. We can feed off each other. Now, sometimes we have to be, one of us has to be calm, thank God. That's why the kids are still alive. But, like, for instance, if I'm anxious about the finances and not really controlling my emotions about them, that in turn can help, can not help, but make her be anxious. So we really have to be careful when we're interacting about our anxiousness and how much of effect we have on one another. I'm sure everybody in this room has stories similar to these. And I was just sharing a couple of those with you so that we could see all the things in our life that make us anxious. There really is a larger issue in our society with anxiousness. And so before I get into the verse and talking about the Bible, I just wanted to show us how serious it is, how serious anxiousness, anxiety, worry is in our society today. I found some numbers that said anxiety is at the root of most of the common illnesses in the U.S. Some 40 million Americans, or 18% of our population, suffer from some type of anxiety-related illness. There's numbers that say that 18% is actually closer to 30%. It may be even higher. That's a huge number. And women have double the risk for anxiety disorder that men do. I would imagine that is because, just like we talked about in our case, me being the husband caused my wife to be doubly anxiety by my actions. So, why is anxiety bad? Anybody who's experienced anxiety can probably tell you, but I just wrote a couple things down. When we're anxious, when we're worried, we have higher levels of stress. We often struggle with low self-esteem. We feel nervous in many social situations, public speaking. We're often more sick and have many other health problems. We're overall more unhappy. We often get quick to get angry. I'm really speaking to myself with all these now. And here's a big one. A side effect of anxiety disorder is we question our faith and God's presence in our lives. Those are just a few, but when I was looking at this, I found over 30 side effects of anxiety. And so how do we treat anxiety? How do we right now as a nation, as a society, treat it? Two main treatments, psychotherapy and medicine. Tom Cruise disclaimer right now. I am not going to try to tell you in this message that psychotherapy and medicine should never be used. My sister suffered with a debilitating anxiety-related illness for some time. And it was brought about by many different factors. Chemical imbalance, lack of sleep, just general anxiety. And so I've experienced it. We've experienced it in our family. She got help. She had to take medicine at that time. So I know that there's other ways to treat anxiety. But there are serious side effects associated with the treatments for anxiety today, specifically with medicine. Some of those side effects are addiction or withdrawal symptoms, amnesia, depression, suicidal attempts, violence and hostility, and anxiety. Yes, you heard that right. A side effect of the medicine used to treat anxiety is actually anxiety. What all this facts and numbers and side effects and things are trying to show us, and what I'm trying to say about it, is that anxiety is a serious problem for us today. I think if we're honest, we all say in some way we have a level of anxiety, something in our life that causes us anxiousness. So, I want to talk first about the biblical root cause of anxiety. I believe the scriptures tell us the biblical root cause of anxiety is a lack of trust in God. When we are anxious, we are saying to God, things are not going to be okay. Is that all causes of anxiety? No. Did my sister have other factors that caused her to be anxious? Yes, she did. And I'm sure we know people ourselves who suffer from these. But this is important. If you have anxiety, if I have anxiety, we must ask ourselves if our trust in God is lacking. Okay? We don't need to ask that for someone else. We can ask ourselves that. Is my trust in God lacking? So, I'd like us to look at what the Bible tells us about our relationship to God, or our lack of relationship to God, and our level of anxiety. And so we're going to read out of Leviticus 26, 14 through 20. This is Moses speaking to the Israelites who'd been wandering in the wilderness, and they've been jumping back and forth between trust and disobedience. Trust and disobedience. And so in these verses it says, "But if you will not listen to me and carry out all these commands, and if you reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out all my commands and so violate my covenant, then I will do this to you. Excuse me. I will bring on you sudden terror, wasting diseases, and fever that will destroy your sight and sap your strength. You will plant seed in vain because your enemies will eat it." God says, if you don't trust me, I will bring on you sudden terror. Lack of trust in God equals anxiety. Houston, we have a problem. We all suffer from anxiety. When we suffer from anxiety, it could be because of a lack of trust in God. The first step is acknowledgement. Now we need to ask ourselves, can we fix it? Well, I don't think we need to say, can we fix it? I think we need to ask, can God fix it? Amen. And you know what this treatment's called? We're going to call this the biblical treatment. So what we're going to do now is we're going to look at the verses that we have today. And we're going to look at what Paul is telling us in those verses. But we're actually going to look a little bit outside of these verses. Because these verses, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, that's the verse that speaks to me. But the instruction set for how we handle anxiety in our own lives exists in the verses around it, and this verse altogether. So I'm actually going to start reading at verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Here's our verses. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, in thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now we're going into 8. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." So what's our treatment plan? First, I'd like to go and look at verse 4. Rejoice. First thing we see in there is rejoice. What does rejoice mean? Be joyful. Be joyful in your life. I've got bad news for you. If you or I or any of us are miserable people, that's not rejoicing. Okay? We need to look at ourselves and we need to make a decision to change that. Okay? We have control over our actions. We have control over our responses. Things might not be great, but we can certainly choose to rejoice. To feel or show great joy in our lives. That's important. To feel or show. Sometimes we don't feel like rejoicing. Guess what? Or we can still show that fact that we're joyful, that we're rejoicing. That's number one. That's the first step of our treatment plan. Second step, present your request to God. This is out of today's verses, 6 through 7. When do we present our request to God? In which situation? In every situation, in all situations. Okay? What do? Prayer. We present these requests with prayer. We present these requests with petition. I think we know what prayer is. What's petition? Petition is a formal request. Okay? A word used in another translation is supplication. Asking or begging for something humbly. So, in all situations, in prayer and petition, and here's an important factor, in thanksgiving. This comes back to the choice that we have to make too. We present our request to God with a spirit of thanksgiving. God, thank you. God, please help me with my anxiety. Thank you for what I have nowadays. Thank you for where I'm at today. Things might not be great, but thank you anyway, God, because you first love me, and you will love me forever. Okay, that's the second thing. We've got rejoice. That's step one of our treatment plan. Step two, present your request to God. Step three, here's an interesting one. Think about good things. How about that? That's right there in the verses. Think about good things. We talked about that a little bit in our small group this morning. Grumbling and complaining. Grumbling and complaining. Let's think about good things. What are good things? Good things are sports. Oh, that's not written down, actually. I didn't have that. I just threw that in there. What is true? What is noble? What is right? What is pure? What is lovely? What is admirable? What is excellent or praiseworthy? Those sound like really good things to think about, okay? But I'll tell you what, it's really hard sometimes when you're getting ready for church and your car won't start, okay? Or your parents come into town and you blew your faucet all the way across the bathroom, or they quoted you $6,000 for your AC, okay? I know, we're human. It's hard, but these are our instructions right there in the verses, okay? Think about good things. Think about good things. This is going to work out for me. This is going to work out for me. Okay. So, one, rejoice. Two, present your request to God. Three, think about good things. Four, do good things. Let's not just sit around all day thinking about good things. Hey, man, I'm going to go help somebody in like 2 weeks. Things aren't good for me right now. You know what? I'll help somebody when things are good. When the Lord answers my prayers, I'll go help. Melissa said this to me, too, when we were talking about this. She said, the thing that helps me is helping others. Okay? Let me take the focus off myself, off my situation, off the bad things that are happening to me. Let me go help someone else. That is the most profound statement that you can make. I am hurting, okay? I am hurting. And in the midst of that hurt, I am going to come sacrifice myself, okay, and help someone else. I don't know what's more powerful than that. Those are our four things. Rejoice, present those requests to God, think about good things, and do good things. Now, this is great. You're saying, okay, thanks, Eric, for sharing us this, but what do you know? Well, we did pull these out of the Bible, but Paul, I want to show you guys who's talking about this stuff. This is Paul, okay? And so Paul wasn't like going to amusement parks and rolling around in a vehicle that started every morning and in a house that had air conditioning, okay? In order to see who's telling us this, you can go into 2 Corinthians, and it's 2 Corinthians 11. There's a bunch of verses, 23 through 28, which in Paul kind of gives us an idea of what he's going through. And so I'll go through these. Put in prison again and again, flogged an uncounted number of times, Paul faced death over and over. He received 39 lashes from the Jews 5 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was stoned 1 time. Usually when you're stoned 1 time, that's it, right? Stoning to death. Shipwrecked 3 times, spent a day and night in the sea, was in continual danger from rivers and robbers, was in danger from his own countrymen, as well as the Gentiles, was in danger in the city, in the country, at sea, and from false brothers, was weary and in pain often, and without sleep, was many times hungry and thirsty, cold and naked. and also was continually concerned about the health of all the churches. This is Paul. If anyone had reason to be worried and be anxious, it's Paul. Okay, my anxiousness about the car not starting is nothing compared to, oh, I got stoned. Thank God I survived. Yet, it is in his words, which are ultimately God's words, which we use to combat anxiousness in our own lives. It is his example in the scriptures that we look to as our biblical treatment plan for the root causes that we talked about earlier. What is the root of our biblical treatment? Focus on God, not on your problems. And what happens if we follow this biblical treatment? Well, there's side effects. Just like there were side effects for the other treatments. You remember those were depression, anger, violence, anxiety. The biblical side effects are much less harmful. Matter of fact, I found one. It was right there in the scriptures. And it was peace. One side effect is peace. I found a story about peace. There's two painters, and they're in a contest to paint a picture of peace. First painter paints a picture of a sunset with the sun going down over calm seas and water. This picture had a very calming effect, just to even look at it. The next guy seemed like maybe he didn't get the message, but he painted a picture of a storm. The sky was dark with lightning, dark thunder clouds, and the sea in this picture was smashing against the rocks. This picture was chaotic. However, in the corner of this picture, at the bottom, were two big rocks with a bird right in the middle of them. And the bird was singing. Now that is peace. Amidst all the chaos and protected by God, this bird had peace. This is the picture of us today. This is where we live, okay? We don't always live in the picture with sunny skies, calm seas, and 110 degree heat indexes. We live in this chaotic picture. But that's the thing. Peace is where God's calm and God's tranquility override our anxiety. So, to conclude this, anxiety is something we all deal with, but thank God he's given us the blueprint for overcoming our anxiousness, anxiety, and worry. So, I want to cover these again because I think this is our instruction set. And if you write anything down today, write these down because this is from the scriptures to do this, okay? So I just want us to remember to do these things when we're feeling anxious. Rejoice. Be glad you're a child of God. Be happy with where we're at. Worship God with that joyful spirit. Pray. Spend time with God. Tell him the things on your heart. Converse with him about the issues that are leading to our anxiety. Petition him to take your worries. God, please, please take my worries. Think good thoughts, okay? Change your mindset from a negative one to a positive one. Think on the things of God. Think about pure, lovely, admirable things. Remember, we have control over our thoughts. And then, 4, practice. Put into practice rejoicing, praying, petitioning, thinking good thoughts. Put into practice when I don't feel like helping someone. That is the time when I need to help someone the most. I think we will get the most out of that when it's that time in our lives. So to finish, I just want to look at one more concept that were in these verses that we looked at today. And it was in Philippians, and it was between 4 and 5, and it was, I'm going to finish with 4, go into 5. Rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. I think in this area of our lives, when we're talking about anxiousness and worry, we need to remember this verse. And we need to be near-sighted. Okay? The Lord is near us. Don't look at those far-off issues that you may have tomorrow. Don't worry about those. Okay? The Lord is near. He is right here. Let's look at our lives right now. Am I okay right this second? I might not be 100% right this second, but just the fact that I'm asking that question, okay, puts me in a place, means that I'm able to ask that question. Look at where you are right now and ask yourself how you're doing today. And have faith that God is in control and will direct your life according to His purpose. Amen? Thank you. I'm going to call the ushers forward, and then Melissa is going to, I think Elizabeth's going to come up and introduce the kids and do some things with the kids. I think Caleb's going to close in prayer, but I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to pray for the offering and just close real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your message, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you burn it on all of our hearts, Father, that you just have it become a part of us, that when we experience anxious thoughts, Father, that we go into your word and just follow the instructions that you've given us. Father, I lift up the offering. I thank you for each and every family person here, Father. I just ask that you'd keep us safe and help us to just meet the needs that we have at this church, Father. Thank you so much for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.